I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Rob, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
How you doing
good, man? Yeah, it's great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Awesome, yeah.
Man. So you can hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear. Yeah, great. We're zooming.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Before we jump in, do you mind if I get a quick radio drop for the Metal Shop show?
Oh, yeah. So it's, is it Kevin at the Metal Shop at The Rock or what? Tell me what you want me to say.
You can just say you're listening to Metal Shop on The Rock.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's Rob Halford, the Metal God from Judas Priest. And you're listening to the Metal Shop on The Rock.
Nice, dude. Thank you so much. Yeah, so I'll just jump in if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, what's going on? It's Kevin Deers with KISW and Metal Shop. As you can see, because this is a Zoom interview, this is the Metal God himself with his biography that I got to admit, I'm not 100% through. I'm about 80%, but I am like devouring it. Incredible, incredible. It's called Confess. Needs no introduction. Rob Halford, welcome, man.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, everybody. It's great to be with you today.
First off, I got to ask you a question that we usually end every interview with, but I gotta start it off with. Since it's a video interview, can you pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it and show it if you can?
Pick a scar?
Yeah.
Wow, that's something I've ever been asked that in my entire life. This is really cool. Hey, do you know what? I don't know whether you can still see this or not. But I have a scar in the middle of, I think it's this hand. It's not very legible now. I don't think you can even see it.
Okay.
But when I was a little kid, I was running from back at the first homestead that the Halfords lived in.
Yeah.
In Calvin Road and Beachdale Estate, public housing and all those years ago. I was running from the kitchen to the living room holding a little glass of juice or something.
Okay.
And I tripped and fell. I fell on the floor, on the hard kitchen floor.
Yeah.
And the glass embedded itself into the palm of my hand, you know. And as a little kid,
yeah,
you just lose it, you know, because there's blood.
Yeah.
Blood everywhere. And I didn't have to have any stitches. It was just, you know, mums are great, aren't they? Mums can do everything, including being a nurse.
Yep.
So she kind of fixed it up. But I've always had that scar. That was the first scar I ever had. I do have one more that, again, it's kind of weird. It's almost ineligible now, but this is probably more metal.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing a record in a studio in London, and I think I may have talked about this in the book.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing, or if we're not, it's one of the leftover stories that we'll use at some point. There was a big fight going to be on the TV. It was, I'm sure it was Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah, you did mention this in the book.
I mention it in the book? And yeah. I'm running from the TV room to the studio, and I jump over a little thing in the way, and the top of my head hits this kind of metal lintel over the door and knocks me flat on the back, and I'm lying there all groggy, this blood.
Yeah.
And I get up, and that's staggering, and the guys go, what have you done? Oh, I just smashed my head, and Glenn's like, we need to take you to the hospital, dude, because I can see your skull. I can see the bone.
Brutal.
Through. So I got one on the bonds, you know, which is probably the more metal one, and then the one from when I was a little kid. And I probably got some more. I got one on my knees as well from when I was a kid and smashed my knees open. It's the scars of life, Kevin.
Yes.
The scars of life. We've all got them.
You know, what's funny is I, not to name drop or anything, but I interviewed Phil Anselmo, and he said, I don't have any scars. And he showed us his tattoo. It says unscarred.
Yeah. I know what Phil means by that. I'm sure we all do.
Right.
But, that's a pretty cool question. Now I've got to throw it back at you. What about you? Have you got any scars?
Yeah, actually, I have a scar on my arm. I'm not sure if you can see. Oh, actually, I got a tattoo that covers it. This is my friend Tim Butcher. Right. But right. So I have a, actually, it's covering it. But I had a scar over here. Me and my friend, we were still into pro wrestling. But when I was a kid, I thought I could be a wrestler. And so we were wrestling on his bed. Not like that. We were wrestling on his bed. And he got his braces caught in my arm. And it just ripped the flesh. And it was oozing. So
it's a rite of passage, getting your first scar or scars. Yeah, absolutely. You find out how tough you are or how much of a pussy you are, which is both in my cases, depending on the life where I was at.
So you have quite a few like purposeful scars. I just showed you my tattoo. What is your first tattoo you ever got, Rob?
The first tattoo I ever got was given to me by a tattoo artist that ran a shop. Was it called Raven? Raven Tattoos. Anyway, it was across from the Hyde House, the famous Ride House in on the Strip. And I'd been wanting to get a tattoo for as long as I could remember.
Yeah.
And so I went into the store and met the guy. And was his name Jim Raven? I need to look this up. I need to Google him.
Sure.
But he was the guy that gave me my first ever tattoo. And, you know, everybody goes into that shop. I'm pretty sure it's gone now. It's all the strip's been wiped out in certain parts of the strip. But anyway, the guy says, you know, hey, Rob, what's up, man? Hey, you know, good. You get some ink? Yeah, have a look. See, is there anything you want? No, I'm just kind of looking around. So the thing I got, and this is a great story, is a little devil. I don't know if you can see him now. You and I both got scars. But I think you can barely see it on that side. Is it even visible? Like a because it's been covered round, JJ. Okay,
yeah.
From Fight, did a lot of work. I had this little devil tattoo. Now, the cool thing about this tattoo is that it used to be kind of a signal if you were part of the gay community.
Oh, okay.
This is going way back.
Yeah.
You know, way, way back, probably even before like the 40s or the 50s maybe. And it was kind of adopted, a little devil.
Okay.
It was kind of a signal, an underground signal.
Yeah.
And so I thought of all the, you know, they call them flashes. There were hundreds and hundreds of flashes on the walls in that place. Instinctively, this is about 91, around Painkiller.
Okay.
First time I ever got a tattoo. I'm covered now.
Yeah.
But that was the very first tattoo I got. And it's funny because he did it for me and he finished that. He said, "Are you happy?" "Oh, yeah, man." He goes, "I'll see you again." I said, "No, I just wanted the one." He goes, "You'll be back."
Yep.
And I'm like, "Arnold, you'll be back." "No, I'll be back. You'll be back." And sure enough, I went back about 2 days later and got the priest emblem.
Yeah.
The priest emblem.
Yep.
Just a few days later. Everybody that has tattoos has a story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually the first one, like that cool question that kicks it all off.
Yeah. Right on, man. Well, thank you for sharing. As you would, I mean, I would assume you're pretty busy doing a lot of press and interviews for the book and obviously for your Christmas album behind you. Awesome.
Yeah. Got to kick that off again.
Absolutely.
Kick that in the Christmas ass and remind everybody.
But in a normal year, you guys are touring a lot or working on new music or you guys are always super busy. And you know, even within the last couple of years, you guys have played Washington State, incredible shows. How are you staying busy during this downtime of, coronavirus, the pandemic? How has the last 8 months been for you? Like, how have you been staying busy and how you've been staying sane, most importantly?
Yeah, because the mental side of what we're going through is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's vital that we talk about this. And that in my conversations with friends like yourself, I've had hundreds and hundreds of Zooms since I started. And we talk about the pandemic because you've got to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole mental exercise is simply staying in touch and talking through your frustrations, you know. Because we're all affected, even I'm affected. Thank God I've had something to do here with this. You know, I've been doing so much work, promoting it every day, practically apart from the weekends, every day for months, it seems.
That's great.
But so at least I've had something to work on. You may have heard that Priest had some great writing sessions at the start of the year before the world stopped, and we started working on the next bunch of songs for the follow-up to Firepower. So we were all excited, you know, we got all that going. Yeah, okay, guys, we do about a month and a half or so of writing, then we take a break, and then we all go off to our respective homes, then we all come back, just so you can digest what you've got and what you need. Mm-hmm. And of course, we haven't been able to do the follow-up writing sessions as of right now. We still stay in touch,
yeah,
you know, through this and other ways of like piecing stuff together. But we have a formula in Priest for writing, and that first session was Glenn and Richie and myself at Glenn's studio, and that's the way we like to work. That's the way we create the music, and it seems difficult trying to do it any other way. So somehow we've got to get back into that formula, and thank goodness we've got the vaccine here, and which is wonderful. Yeah. And so slowly getting back on track. But so it's crazy because it's March, and now it's not almost, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. This year seems to have flown by, although it hasn't for so many of us. It's been grueling, you know, because everybody's schedule has been turned upside down.
Yeah,
but it's been wonderful. The wonderful side of it has been how the vast majority, 99.999% of people have pulled together.
Yep.
You know, and we've done the right thing, and we're looking after each other and following the guidelines and, you know, getting through it.
A big part of your book is battling alcoholism, and then also battling mental health and really kind of getting on top of that. And it's so awesome to see you well and stoked on life and stuff. In order to take care of that every day, what are a couple things, especially during this time of being home and being on top of things, what are a couple things you do every day to make sure that to just like, you know, make sure you're on top of your mental health and your happiness and your self-care?
Well, it's really important to think about yourself, and that's not being selfish.
Yeah.
If you're feeling a little bit off, try and figure out, why do I feel this way, man? Is something's like changing, or is something's kind of happening, you know? So you really need to find a way of... Thank you, Thomas. Thomas has just bought me a nice cup of tea.
Nice.
It's when you're
calm
old
and listen to metal.
When you're old, you have to keep having a nice cup of tea.
I like that. Keep calm is crossed out and listen to
metal. Yeah. That's keep awesome. Calm and listen to metal. But so it's a little thing like that. I'm fortunate to have someone in my life, and it's difficult for people that are by themselves. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. We've all got one of these, a Zoom, or we've all got a phone, we've all got a computer. Every day I do my daily ritual as far as music. I just log onto two or three music sites every day just to get up to speed.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Kirk. It's Kirk's birthday today. Stuff like that. You know, it's keeping your mind working, keeping your mind active, because if you don't, you go into a funk, you know, it creeps up on you. So there's that. Bit of a news hound. I'm just fascinated by what's going on here in America on all aspects, and obviously back home and elsewhere around the world. Because when you're a musician and you have the great blessing of traveling around the world, you realize we're all home. The world is our home. We're all connected. So there's that side of staying in touch. I do every single day. I do my hikes around the house here on the trails in the valley. So that's like 45 minutes a day. I do 20 minutes swim in the pool.
Nice.
Because the physical side of what we're doing as musicians, particularly singers, you know, you've got to keep your body, particularly your lungs. And this is a horrible thing about COVID, how it can really damage your breathing. Oh, yeah. So you've got to be super careful to stay on top of that with following the guidelines. I've been pretty much a vampire as well, because you don't go out in the daily sunny Phoenix. We've had another like killer summertime, you know.
Yeah.
Early temperatures 115 plus
in Arizona. So
I've been a heavy metal vampire for the most part. I rarely leave the house until 6 p.m. you know, when it's dusk. And then my music, always listening to music, you know, every day. The first thing I do when I get up is turn music on. I have to have music in my head, you know, in every room, and that sustains me. So all those little things, you know, Netflix, Prime, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just keep occupied. Keep occupied. Try and find something to do. No matter how simple it might seem, everything is valuable.
That's one thing. You're just saying how you need music and how you're just like fiend about music. And that's one thing about you is it seems like, you know, I follow you on social media. You're always talking about new music that you love, and it's like you're finding new artists, and that's awesome. Being the metal god, it would be easy for you to just kind of, you know, stick with the classics and do that. But it seems like you're always just like thirsty for more new music. What gets you excited about a band? Is there like a certain thing that like hooks you, or is it all over the place?
It's all good. It's all good because I know how tough it is to make a band. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, man. It doesn't matter where you're at, what level you're at. It's hard work. Yeah. You know, there's so much more than the music that you're making. And so I just feast on everything, you know, and there's an abundance of talent that's out there in the world. It's kind of difficult to keep track because right. There's so much stuff happening. I'm sure the Seattle scene is thriving.
Oh yeah,
you know. I'm just curious. I'm interested. I'm interested, and it's exciting and inspiring. You know, we've always said in pre-Steven now, if you switch everything off, you know, in your music world and just focus on yourself, you're losing a lot of opportunities for excitement and, mm-hmm. and new vibes and possible inspiration. So staying connected to music is just, it's thrilling. I listen to all of the new AC/DC album. Power, I mean, and there's a classic band. Thank God for AC/DC because mm-hmm. they've just given this amazing kick and lift on a worldwide level.
Yeah.
And all bands that are dropping music, whether it's or even doing virtual shows. Yeah. You know, I saw some Metallica thing the other day in Behemoth. It's all great, man. You know, and just find a moment to get lost in that world because once you dive into that world, the day's gone. You can start in the morning and then suddenly, the day's gone, you know, because I've just been checking this band and this mm-hmm. side and that side. A lot of power going on.
That's awesome, man. You quickly mentioned the Seattle scene and I'm curious, and I'm putting you on the spot here, but there's so many to choose from the grunge scene to the rock to metal to everything. What's one Seattle band that you love throughout history?
Alice in Chains.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Equally Soundgarden, equally Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
I found out the other day from a friend of Kirk that he was a big Priest fan. I never knew.
That's awesome.
I never knew. Of course, Dave's always been a massive metalhead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful. But I always tell this story. Again, in Phoenix, I was driving around in my car listening to a local station here, and Man in a Box came on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm driving, I'm suddenly going, what the hell is that, you know? And they were game changers. The whole mm-hmm. Seattle scene shook the world up, you know?
Yeah.
But particularly those. And we're dear friends. We've known each other forever. We did some shows out on the Firepower Tour last year. So good guys.
That's awesome. Now, if anyone is on the fence about like purchasing the book and they think, oh, maybe, you know, it's just, you know, surface level, it's not, it's 100% open. It's honest. There's some stuff in there that even makes, you know, maybe me blush when I'm reading it. I'm like, oh man, but it's awesome book. Was there anything that you were nervous about getting out there and you just had to say, screw it, I'm putting this in there? Was there anything that you were nervous or?
Yeah, I was. And I talked about this with Ian Gittings, my guy who worked the book with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we shut that down pretty fast, because if you start saying, I can't do this because of that person, I can't do this because of that person, then you lose ownership of your life. You know, this is about living your life on your terms.
Yeah.
And so we quickly dismissed that. We put everything out there, absolutely everything. Most of it went in the book. We still got a lot of stuff left over because it was edited so well by the people at Edlon and Hachette here in the States. I think it's normal to feel that way because, you know, especially if it's a family moment, you protect your family. But then you think about things that happen in your family that are not unique. You know, there are things that happen in my family that are, that probably happened in yours or, you know, everybody's family. So it's just, it's more than anything, it's this common denominator that runs through us all. We're all the same. We're all different, but we're all the same.
Yeah.
You know, we all have had our ups and downs and ins and outs and good times, bad times or whatever. You know, we're all the same people, no matter where you are on the planet. So this is just me telling my side of the story outside of the music.
Awesome, man. And it's called Confess, and you can pick it up now. If I follow you on social media, and you sometimes wear t-shirts with cats all over them. I'm a cat lover. Okay. And for some reason, it seems like metalheads, these fierce, crazy, brutal metalheads, love cats. What is it about the, the brutal metal people and cats? What is that?
I got a cat t-shirt with a side profile of a cat holding a knife and there's blood dripping off it.
Yes.
And it's got what? That's a cat. I think that's what we like about them.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, your cat can be this like cuddly little fur ball and the next minute you can be clawing your eyeballs out.
Right.
I think that's the fun side of it. I really don't know what the true essence of it is, but it seems to be it's pretty strong worldwide. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to get some new cat shirts. I've run out for the time being, so I'm just trying to find some new ways to. Might have to start my own cat t-shirt company. I don't know.
There you go.
There's only so many cat t-shirts out in the world today.
Do you have your own cats?
I did have this cat. This is Mr. Smokey. Where's he gone? No, he's hidden by this brilliant cat. This was my kitty cat for years.
Aww.
And then he got taken from us with that horrible cancer that cats get.
Yeah.
And all animals get. It's horrible, that whole thing. And because of that, and because of the fact that we're always away from the house, I don't think it's fair. Not that cats would really mind. I can't leave my cat by yourself. And he's like, just leave me the food, leave me something to drink. Leave me, you know, go off and do your own thing.
Yeah.
But just the way that humans are attached to those beautiful creatures. So we don't have one at the moment. Thomas's thing is like, when you retire, which I won't, when you retire, we'll have about 100 cats running around the house. I'm like, yeah, you can deal with a cat litter, buddy, because that's going to be my job.
That's one beautiful thing. We see photos of Freddie Mercury with all of his cats. What an awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, help me out. Gary from Exodus Slayer.
Oh, yeah, Gary.
Cat Mad. Blasco from Ozzy's band.
Yep.
Cat Mad. There's probably a lot more I can't think of right now.
Cat metalheads.
Cat men.
So, Rob, I'm not going to take up all your time today.
I know, buddy.
A ton of other interviews to probably get to and whatnot. But I want to know, because you are a true inspiration to so many people in so many different communities. And being someone who, in the book, you mentioned about how difficult it was to stay in the closet for so long. And when you finally did, it felt like liberating.
Yes.
Do you have any words of advice for someone who's watching right now and might not feel comfortable expressing who they are or showing who they truly are?
Well, firstly, that you're loved, that you're loved. I love you. And there's a lot of other people that love you, regardless of your sexual identity. But it is difficult. It's still difficult because, you know, we belong to a minority. It's plain and simple. And beyond that, I hope you find the peace and the strength to break through that door. And if you don't, that's okay. You know, it's your life. You choose how to live it. But all I can talk is from my experience and the whole feeling of release and peace and harmony and balance and the removal of innuendo and nasty comments and suspicious whisperings behind your back. All that vanishes, man. All the ammunition is gone. It's gone. People have got nothing. They got nothing to say. And you know, you still get called out, but what does it matter? What does it matter? You know, so please know that you're not alone. Please know that there are plenty of places to go to if you need a hand to hold. I'm holding your hand all the time to make that move. But yeah, just do it right. Do what's right for you. But just know that, just talking from personal experience, if you are able to break through and just say, hey, this is who I am, you know,
yeah,
this is it. I'm happy with myself. I love myself. You know, I found the best place for me to be a person. Then go ahead and do it. It's only good stuff comes out of it.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you opening up and being honest and inspirational in that way. So of course, buy the book, you know, it's available everywhere. Obviously bookstores might not be open, but there's so many places online you can purchase it. Again, Rob Halford, the Metal God. Any final words for the Northwest audience, Rob?
Just that we love you guys, man. We're so hungry to get back up to see mm-hmm. you again. We have some amazing times together, and all of us bands everywhere, all over the planet, we're so desperate to see our beautiful fans again.
Yeah,
because music isn't truly music until it's performed live, you know. And at least we can enjoy our favorite bands and so forth in the ways that we choose yeah. at home or whatever. But to actually see the band that you love is just a testament to, you know, the bond that we have. And so thank you, everybody in Kevin's world for looking after Priest, looking after Metal. And we're all coming back, man. That's a great thing, isn't it? We're all going to be back out and in each other's faces in 2021. So bring it on.
Right on, Rob. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, man. Take it easy.
You too, man. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.